You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Well, hello, hello, howdy. Welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad you've decided to join us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. Ding, ding, ding. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton, editor-in-chief of StarWarsReport.com and co-founder, co-host here at the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad that you've decided to tune in. We've got a good show for you tonight. We're talking Star Wars Rebels. One guy's on the set of Star Wars Episode 7, another guy's visiting the set of Star Wars Episode 7. And filming's pretty much over, and we're going to talk about all that good stuff. But first, let me bring into the podcast my co-host and co-founder. She's the executive editor here at the Star Wars Report. It's Bethany Blanton.
Hello. I'm glad to be back. And as usual, the opening music made me chair dance.
Yes.
I hope it did with you, too.
As it should. That's a rockin' version of the... I like our intro and outro music. I'm not going to lie.
It is.
And that Bobby Roberts mix when we did the Full of Sith show. If you go back into the archives of the Full of Sith podcast, you'll see a recent episode labeled Star Wars Report, and that's where Bethany and I were guests talking about Spark of Rebellion. But man, he did this ridiculously cool remix of the 8-bit Star Wars theme that the Full of Sith uses, and of course our rock and jam. I kind of liked it because it was almost like a little bit of a BBC World News. That's kind of what I was thinking of originally. It was like, dum, 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 this is BBC World News. This is the Star Wars Report podcast. It's a fun little thing. Hey, you heard him chuckling there in the background. Let's bring him into the show proper. It's my good friend in the Force. He calls himself the bipolar Star Wars fan, and he is in the best of ways. The best of ways. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mark Herleman to the program.
Yeah, you know, this guy is wishing he was on the set of Episode 7.
Are you kidding? Like, who hasn't visited the Star Wars set at this point?
You got me.
Well, that's true.
And
except
me.
It's like,
come on, Filoni. Come on, Lucas, JJ, hook it up.
I don't really understand how this Hollywood thing works, but recently, Benedict Cumberbatch, and I didn't even put it in the show notes, Benedict Cumberbatch visited the set, and he just admitted it this past week.
Yep.
You've got Daniel Radcliffe, who we'll talk about later. You've got...
I'm starting to feel my jealousy level rise.
Kathleen Kennedy's... what's Kathleen Kennedy's husband name? The big producer?
Simon Pegg. Didn't he get to go out there,
Simon
too?
Simon Pegg, Frank Marshall, Kevin Smith. I mean, it's everybody at this point. It's just... all right, everybody's visiting the Star Wars. What? And evidently, it won't be up too much longer to visit, so there's that. But yeah, let's do it. I'm excited about tonight's show.
That is weirdly odd, just to give a tiny little side segment, that is so interesting to me because JJ is such a secretive director compared to some other directors. I mean, Adam Bray, a Star Wars author, and a couple staff members of our site were discussing on Twitter today the fact that, you know, comparing JJ to PJ, which is Peter Jackson, of course, from
Peter Jackson, Peter Jackson
from Lord of the Rings, who constantly releases
Jiggson. Peter Jackson. That's how I have to say it.
Oh goodness, but anyway, but so it's interesting to me that JJ is letting all of these people visit the set when he tends to be more secretive in nature than some others. But that is to the wayside. I was going to start the show with a short segment that I did not tell Riley and Mark about, and that I'm a wee bit nervous about. I do like the word "we," so in the W-E-E
Peter Jackson says a wee bit nervous.
Mm-hmm. He does. So I wanted to talk about feedback and criticism. This is something that has been an ongoing discussion in the background of the Star Wars Report for a couple of months now. And it's also been something that I've been thinking about in that period of time as well. We love feedback on the show. And there are many times when we might text each other and say, oh, so-and-so emailed us. This is really exciting. Or, oh, this person had something great to say about the show. Or, hey, Riley, this person said that they didn't like this part of the show. And I actually think that they're probably right about that. You know, we could have done this better. We could have done that better. But I wanted to specifically talk about negative feedback because the Star Wars Report podcast has grown a lot recently. And the site has grown a lot recently, too. But with a bigger audience comes a bigger audience who has more points of view, which is awesome, and more people to talk Star Wars with, which is also awesome. But it also comes with criticism. You know, we have heard many times from many different podcasters that you aren't really doing podcasting right until you get some sort of hate mail, because it means that you're really not that big if nobody sends you hate mail. But there's a difference between critiquing something and criticizing something and then straight up just bashing or hating on something. And I wanted to touch on those. Basically, as any of my college professors right now would do with a paper, if you have a genuine critique to make, definitely make it. We want to hear your suggestions. We want to hear your thoughts. But if you make a critique, don't make it a personal attack of, I hate XYZ. Because, well, it's hateful to say that. And when you make a suggestion, kind of give an example. When you say, you guys talk too long, or you guys talk too shortly about something, definitely follow that up with examples of, on this segment of this episode of the show, I thought that the conversation went on too long about this, and y'all repeated several points about this actor or this character that the show could have done without. So, you know, back it up with reasonable examples so we know actually what you're talking about and can learn and grow as podcasters. And don't make it with super loaded statements. Any of my professors, again, in college, if you make a loaded statement, like anything that's full of feeling, as in I hate or can't stand or this is horrible, this is awful, statements like that tend to just tell me that it's a personal preference that's backed by a dislike of us or dislike of the show or dislike of the segment. And honestly, I won't take it as seriously. And people don't. Writers, journalists, podcasters, they don't take stuff seriously if you think that the person just dislikes you, because then they're not going to like anything you do. So, and you can make it a personal preference with, you know, I have heard that some people really like this segment of the show, but I'm not a huge fan of it, just personally speaking, because I'm not a fan of Rebels. Or I'm not really a fan of this part of the show because I would rather hear you guys talking more about movie news. So that type of personal preference is great as well. And, but for these following examples are actually real ones. Obviously, I won't mention names involved, but don't make Twitter accounts specifically to troll any of the hosts or writers of the Star Wars Report account and expect to be listened to. Don't make fun of someone's lack of finances, for instance, in order to poke fun of their audio quality or their equipment or their internet. You can say, hey, I would suggest getting better XYZ if you can. But understand that for us, Riley and I are poor college students. Honestly, we can't afford really great audio equipment. If you would like to sponsor audio equipment, definitely shoot us an email. If you would like to sponsor other better pieces of equipment for other stuff, definitely send us an email. But, you know, Mark is a family man and he can't spend money on the Star Wars Report when he should be spending it on his family. And the same goes for our writers as well. You know, this is something that we do for fun. This is something we do as a hobby. And, you know, if we were professional radio show hosts, definitely we would go with that. But definitely engage and give suggestions. And understand that all three hosts are involved in the decision-making process. So I realize Riley is the main host who typically runs through the segments, but me, Mark, and Riley all make decisions about the show. So feel free to reach out to any of us and mention something. And secondly, hosts of podcasts and bloggers, etc., tend to take it as a cue that you really don't care about the show or the website or the people involved if the only time they hear from you is when you have something negative to say. So if you really want to go above and beyond, I would say tell us when you like something too, because we don't necessarily know that. So if you really like something we're doing and we change it, that might be because we've never heard from anybody saying, oh, we like this segment. You know, so we're going to change it up if eventually we think, oh, well, people don't really like this very much. Or, you know, we should probably just do this on our own time since people aren't seeming to enjoy this as much. But we try to be a positive site, because, again, that is really more what fandom and what a hobby should be, a fun and safe place to geek out, as Steve Glasson would say. And, you know, people should focus on what they enjoy and what they like. So definitely tell us when you like something, and tell us when you don't like something, and tell us why. I realize that this segment is a bit heavy for like a fun Star Wars discussion podcast, but it is something that I know other podcasters and other bloggers have really struggled with. And it's something that, you know, I know fans have left the community because of, you know, really negative feedback that I would hesitate to call true feedback when it starts fitting the more trolling or hate mail portion of the show. But anyway, those are my thoughts on the subject. And if you would like to talk more about it, definitely send an email, shoot me a tweet at Bethany L. Blanton on Twitter, and hopefully you won't hate me too much for talking about this.
Well said.
Well said. Well said. I couldn't say it better myself, and I think your words definitely stand on their own. So without further ado, let's jump into the show proper. And let's talk some Star Wars.
We have something to report.
Just closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right. Filming on Star Wars Episode 7 is coming to a close. In fact, there's less than a month left in production. Kathleen Kennedy told the press at the opening of Industrial Light and Magic's London offices that the conclusion of principal photography on Star Wars was 3 weeks off. Now, of course, that is more than a week ago, 8 days ago as we do this. So by the time this podcast comes out, by the time you're listening to this podcast on your smartphone or MP3 player of choice, Star Wars will basically be a week away from being done. And I think we touched on this briefly in last week's show, but I wasn't really sure. I mean, I kind of glossed over it, but I thought, you know what, let's revisit it, because it's been a bit of a slow news week, so we're only going to feature a couple stories here and then talk some Rebels. But I'll tell you what, I just kind of wanted to touch base with you guys. Now that Episode 7 is basically, for all intents and purposes, a week away from being done, what do you think of the filming production so far? I'll toss that to you, Mark, first, since we're basically, it's the end. It's all post-production here. What did you think of the filming process, all the rumors, all the swirling leaked set photos, all, if you're just to kind of give your overall impression as a longtime Star Wars fan, it's hard to believe that we're already on the far side of this, but what do you think?
It is insane. Surprisingly, the thing that rises to the forefront of my mind when I think about the fact that there's only 1 month left or less than is Han Solo's injury. You know, Harrison Ford getting hurt. That was like, oh no, we're going to put off, everything's going to get thrown out of proportion. And it's like, really, you still have over a year, man. Like, we were sweating this. like, I don't know. Like that whole momentary panic that they may shift it from December of 2016 and all that worry that come in. Now I'm kind of like, wow, that was a little premature, which I guess is an indicator of Star Wars fandom in itself. You know, we kind of get news, everybody panics, and then we kind of watch what happens as it settles. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to more things. I'm looking forward really to the first trailer, which I really think we're probably going to get at Anaheim. I'm like ready to throw some dollars down that's when we're going to get the sneak peek, the first teaser trailer. I think that just makes the most sense. Yeah. Wait till then, drop it right on everybody, drop it like it's hot and move on. And just, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, you know, we had a pre-show segment where I was kind of rambling about everything that was going on, but that's one thing that even though I may worry about, you know, how people are going to embrace it, I know I'm going to be embracing it, and I'm really looking forward to getting some peeks beyond just, oh, it's a spoiler. You know, I mean, like, yeah. A teaser trailer, yeah. I have to watch a teaser trailer. I mean, I don't care if I'm trying to stay spoiler-free or not. I am watching that. That is intended to draw you in, so it's like a must-have, you know?
No, absolutely. I'll tell you what, because that's a good point. The teaser trailer It's on the horizon, but I think you're right. It might be a few more months. Maybe before Celebration. Well, let's make the comparison. The Avengers Age of Ultron trailer just dropped. By the way, just freaking amazing. That trailer.
And we're looking at May 3rd or May 5th for that release date. So
we're
what
7 months out?
Yeah, 9 months out?
Let's see. So I have to do a little bit of math real quick. So we say all of November, December, and then 5 months until May, so or 4 months, four full months. So we're talking, yeah.
So 9 or 8 months from Anaheim will be about 8 months away from the movie. So that's about
it's
right.
It's roughly, it's within a month or two, just roughly. Mm. So that would make sense. That is because as post production begins, that's kind of what we begin to look forward to. And then of course, I imagine we'll be getting the official poster sooner then. Because they always drop the official poster.
I mean, I was going through
the poster book the other day, and I got to admit, you know, the teaser poster for episode 3 just did not do as much justice as the teaser posters for episode 1 and episode 2 did. I'm really hoping for something iconic with this one.
Yes, yes. Well, and it's interesting because now that we're at, and I'll go next then, we're at the end of the process, and I feel like all these major news stories that have happened, Harrison Ford breaking his leg, the set photos that have leaked of Greenham Common, the set photos from Abu Dhabi at the beginning of the shoot. There have been tons of leaks, but really only one or two big possible spoilers, one of which we talked about on the show the other week. And even those I kind of feel like may not be the case or may be very different than what we are thinking they are so far. So as we look at the end of production, I'm actually kind of happy with how little I know about the movie now that it's pretty much done shooting.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that 100%.
And even if that one big leak the other week is true, I still feel like that's such a tiny piece or moment, snapshot of the film, that we don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know. Bethany, is this kind of what you expected as far as the production of a new Star Wars film?
To me, honestly, I will have to say no, because truthfully, I did expect something a la Peter Jackson. I know I've mentioned it so many times that these listeners are probably like, Bethany, we're going to become more familiar with Peter Jackson than we are J.J. Abrams himself.
By the way, did you see that new teaser poster?
That's
of
not
the
a
five
problem.
Armies?
I know, that was
the five
so
armies
cool.
Coming right out soon.
Yes.
I'll tell you what.
Star Wars Report hijacked by the Hobbit Report. Anyway.
Like it's going to be the eagles and the goblins and the Dwarvaries.
Right, it's going to be Gandalf.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell my daughter to look away. You don't want to know what happens to the dwarf you got a crush on.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
Oh, no.
Dude, they know. I've read the book
okay,
to them, but
good.
She's already forgotten. And I'm just like, and I told my wife, I'm like, do I spoil it again? Because, like, she is not going to be happy.
No, I say you don't.
Raw reaction.
Film it.
We're so cruel. It's going to be like that one kid on the episode, whatever it was. Of course, episode 5, the reveal of Darth Vader's his father. And you have that one kid on that famous YouTube video. It's just like, that one.
I'm so mean.
But I digress. Besides torturing your children, Mark, what were you saying, Bethany?
Oh, but what I was going to say was I did expect more official news. I mean, I knew that rumors would be around. Of course, they're going to be around, and leaks, some of which will be accurate probably and some of which will not be. But I honestly think that if J.J. had done some sort of production diary videos or some sort of, you know, monthly or weekly little update or something. He did.
I mean,
but if he had done more of that, I feel like there might have actually been fewer rumors.
I mean, JJ, he's gave us a 30-second shot of the Millennium Falcon, right? With the Batmobile. And he gave us a 30-second shout-out to UNICEF with an X-Wing.
Mm, true.
We've had... That's my sarcastic voice.
You know,
so
you were mentioning, you know, little tidbits that could be big plot reveals, and there was only about maybe two of them. And I see, okay, if the one about a certain main character from the original trilogy happens to pan out to be true,
Greedo.
That sneak peek for me kind of falls into how when I first got into the EU, you know, I got the essential chronology, and it would give you a brief overview about what each book was. But not enough to ruin the book. Yeah, enough to possibly spoil the main plot, but you still had to figure out how it all came about. And so for me, it's like knowing that if that was actually true, it actually gets me more curious. Like if I go into the movie and I'm like, oh my God, it's true. I will immediately be like, okay, so how did it fall into place? You know, when am I getting those details? And I think I'd be very upset if we got to the end of the movie and they didn't give us that detail yet. They're like, well, we're going to hold that one off for the next film.
Episode
you know, we're
just going to
leave that one direction and you're going to have to wait to find out
coming
why.
Spring 2017, that episode 8. I could see that. I could see. Yeah, it's an interesting time. I mean, I guess that's kind of all the impressions I had so far. I do kind of feel like we're still waiting for some bombs to drop. And I really do hope that there are some official production releases behind the scenes. But we still have yet
that would be
to
nice.
See that.
I mean, like, do you remember on the panel of Star Wars Episode 7 for Dragon Con, like, we pretty much just right away went into Q&A with the audience because what we do know officially is really, like, not... I mean, you can explore it in depth, but really it's just, we know these people are in the film, we know this is when it's set, and we know this production team, and a few other things.
Pretty
so,
much.
But, like, when we were asked about spoilers, and I think every single person on the panel, which was all of us fans, it was a fan-run panel, was just like, no, we haven't even kept up with all the spoilers, like, in the last two or three weeks. So,
yeah,
I mean,
ridiculous.
In some ways, it's a little bit of a disservice.
You know,
but there
in some
are
ways,
so many spoilers. It's one, it's hard to keep up with. And two, I really would rather just more. I love discussion and I love speculation. Sorry, Teresa. I love speculation about what's going to be in the film. But in some ways, there's so many spoilers. I would almost rather just speculate about it among each other and say, hey, what do you think? What do you think will be in the film, Riley? What do you think will be in the film, Mark? And then just have our own discussion because there's so many spoilers that you know, not even half of them can possibly be accurate.
It's almost like strength by numbers. It's like there's so many rumors. Even if you keep up with them all, you have no idea which one's going to be true or false.
Yeah.
So going into the film, it's like this is like our secret strategy now. We're just going to read every rumor that comes out and be so confused by the film, it'll be like we didn't read any rumors. And we'll still have no idea what's going to happen. It might turn out that Greedo's the bad guy in episode 7 when we never saw that coming.
He was found by the
Solo. Daniel Radcliffe's going to be in episode 7. No, he's not. No. Stop the rumors now. He visited the set.
Kevin Smith like is going to be in episode 7. You heard it here
first.
He's going to
be Jabba the Hutt's uncle. No. Daniel Radcliffe visited the set. Basically, he was... he was on ITV News, the British TV station, and basically was like, quote, I went out because all my friends were working there because it's the Potter crew, and they basically just moved on to that. So I was going to see all of them. So basically, Harry Potter. I had
what if you see like a little cameo of Harry Potter walking across one scene? I'd be down. I'd be like, all right, look, he's even got the little zigzag on his forehead.
It is funny that it's a lot of the same crew from Harry Potter. That's cool. Which, you know, I'm a Harry Potter fan, at least of the films. I've seen them all.
Harry Potter.
Speaking of Harry Potter, it's another Harry Potter alum is actually going to be in episode 7. Warwick Davis, of course, played Wicket W. Warwick. And of course, he played Wald in episode Greedo the Elder. Wald. Mm-hmm. He played that one guy with the crazy hair on the pod race whose name also started with the W. I figured it out, JJ. Whatever character he plays, it has to start with a W.
Yep.
That's it. It's in the
Wango.
Contract.
And it has to be two syllables.
No, because
one to two syllables.
So under two syllables is the rule. Basically,
but if you're smart, JJ, you'll do two syllables.
We can knock a copy of this in the show notes. I don't have time to play the whole video, but Warwick Davis did a whole little bit. Have you seen it, Bethany?
I actually have.
Okay,
not.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's
me neither.
All right,
that
see?
Caribbean paper kept me away from
it. All right, so stop it. Wait for it. I'm just gonna play like the first 30 seconds. If this works, if it doesn't work,
it'll be an ad. It'll load and it'll be an ad.
No. Here we go.
How many times do I have to tell you I don't want one? No, nothing you can say is going to convince me otherwise. Look, please stop calling. I need to keep this line clear. I'm expecting a very important phone call any minute. But thank you. All right. Love you, Mum. Bye. Hi, I'm Warwick Davis. I just returned from hosting Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 in Essen, Germany. Now, like many of you fans out there, I was hugely excited to hear news that Star Wars Episode 7 will begin shooting next year. I also got to interview Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm. Let's just remind ourselves about what she had to say. And in the meetings that you've had, you know, about the development of the new films, has my name cropped up at all in the conversation?
Yeah, it's daily. Daily.
And then it cuts to a photo of Rorik Davis sitting there months later with a giant fake beard, sitting by his phone, waiting for a call from Lucasfilm. And the video goes on. We won't play the whole thing, but it's pretty funny. I mean, Rorik Davis, having seen him at Star Wars Weekends...
Can I just say that he's so cute?
He's hilarious. He is hilarious. So that Warwick Davis in Episode 7, and that concludes the news. Let's jump to Star Wars Rebels. Let's talk about the most recent episode.
I have to pause your voice for a second.
Pause.
Okay. I feel like every time we say Rebels, we need to say Rebels.
Rebels.
Yes, especially in light of Tarkin coming
up. You may far when ready. That one of my favorite Star Wars discussions I've ever had on air was our first appearance on Geek Out Loud. And I remember sitting around a round table, an actual round table, where we were holding microphones discussing Star Wars and
I
the upcoming
episode 7. I think we talked
seven.
About the actual round table, too.
Yeah, we did. That's true.
King
we
Arthur
did.
Jokes were made.
Yes. And so I go back into the archives. I need to set up a link to directly go to those kinds of appearances.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I wonder if I did. I may have at some point, but I don't. But anyway, I don't have time to Google that while talking. But basically, that was a great time, and I'll never forget Steve. I was dying. I was sitting there when he basically just went off a long riff of how every single Tarkin line has the rebels, you rebel scum.
I think Steve does the rolling R.
You would
better
prefer
than
a
I do.
Military target? Then name the system. All right.
I kind of want to hear Tarkin do the Cowardly Lion. If I were the king of the forest.
Well, if you really want to hear someone who can truly roll their R's, talk to Steve Klassen.
Absolutely. And so without further ado, let's talk about Star Wars Rebels. That's right, it's time for a little bit of Star Wars Rebels discussion. That's right. That's, by the way, that is Kevin Kiner, but a remix by Flux Pavilion. I found that on Spotify, nice. And I was like, yes, somebody's remixing.
That's an remixing. Interesting name.
Yeah, Star Wars Rebels. This last week, Bethany and I have seen the episode Fight or Flight. Get it? Fight or Flight. It's like fight or flight, but it's fight.
But it's fight or flight.
Get it?
It's just two words.
Am I right?
It's the TIE fighter getting out of there. Fight or flight.
Oh, sometimes you're a little too clever for your own good, Lucasfilm. Basically, I wanted to touch on it real quick because, and let's just do a favorite moment, and we'll do a little quick circle around, giving our favorite moment from the
around
episode.
The round table.
The round table. Let's go round and talk about
I'm not
gonna Star Wars Rebels. Let's talk about Fight or Flight. I'll kick us off, and we'll do a favorite moment. We have not seen the fourth episode, or rather, like, the third episode proper. The numbering system's so weird. Without Spark of Rebellion, it's the third episode proper. What's the name of it again, Mark? You just saw it recently? Because you've got the Disney XD thing. We don't.
The Rise of the Old Masters. Yeah, I do have that. I've got the ability to watch it on that Play Disney XD or whatever it's called. And... it's nice. I mean, I've always was with Clone Wars. I was always 2 days late. You know, I didn't have the internet at the time, so I wasn't able to watch it. But now I have the internet, and I'm able to watch it on my phone with the cracked screen. A day or two before. So
how
like,
about this?
I've already seen it by the time it comes out, and then I'm like, ooh, I'll get to watch it a second time on the big screen.
How about them apples? Like, talk about a role reversal. I'm sitting here saying,
yeah.
So what's in the third episode? And Mark's like, yeah, I've already seen it, sir.
Good use of a Jedi Master. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh man, so it's a good episode. In fact, so I do have the actual third episode here, of which I can queue up, Bethany, if we care.
I was actually earlier today I was asking Riley if he wanted to watch rewatch some Rebels or when we would watch the next episode, And I actually started to say, Riley, when do you want to watch The Clone Wars? And then I realized, oh.
Yeah. So basically, our heroes are back on Lothal, and in an amazing turn of events, they have to go find fruit. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the future heroes of the rebellion against the Empire are sent on a wild goose chase by Hera to find a particular type of fruit, which kind of cracked me up. At first, the first 5 minutes of the episode, I'm like, really?
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 Really? that was too easy. All too easy. So I'm just going to give my favorite.
But by the way, if I were Hera, I would totally have sent them on that goose chase, too. I mean, the two of them were definitely squabbling.
Yeah, it made sense. I mean, especially from the leader of the boat, you know, you're like, get off my boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it gets serious really quickly as what turns out as a wild fruit chase becomes Ezra and Zeb's chance to kind of bond as unofficial brothers in the force of sorts.
Bros and the foes.
Is that what they call it?
I have no idea where that came from, but it came from my mind.
That's what they call it in the
somewhere.
Lower levels of Coruscant. They call it. Yeah, you heard about the hero Anakin Skywalker, hero of the Clone Wars, and his brother in the Force, or as we say it here in the hood, the bros and the foes.
I'm sorry, Kenobi. Guys. I couldn't resist.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. No, so Zeb and Ezra have a chance to kind of bond, and what turns out is their attempt to get this fruit begins them hijacking a TIE fighter and saving some poor civilians whose farm was destroyed.
Quick interjection. Mm-hmm. You said to save some civilians. Do you not view Hera and Kanan and Ezra and everybody as civilians?
Well, they stole a TIE fighter. I think that makes them more criminals.
Okay,
They're criminals. They're ragamuffins.
Yeah,
ne'er-do-wells. What's another word? Anyway,
the brown coats.
I mean, I realize they are fighting and they're rebels, but you know, in some ways they come from a civilian background. Yes, Kanan was a Jedi, but he was not even a full Jedi. Hera is a pilot. She's a pilot second to being a soldier. Not that she is a bad soldier, but her being a pilot is her main occupation. I mean, Sabine is really the only true warrior of the group.
That noise right there that you heard me say was my indignation. Zeb is like the last of his kind and former like special guard unit people. What's the name?
Yeah, he does have that too. I will make that concession.
It's like Sabine Zeb, and Zeb.
Because that was one of my favorite parts with Zeb's character. And then when Kallus shows up and the weapon came into play and they're talking about, you know, the difference in the weapons. Although I think that was this
you're
episode. I watched them back to back. So I'm like,
no, that's this episode. That's the correct episode.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, Kallus, when we watched Spark of Rebellion, Kallus was a character that I was more focused on his accent. It didn't feel like it fit with.
It was harsh.
The character model for me at first. But when we get to this episode and we have them do that little duel where they've got the blaster rifle that's got the little electrodes on each side, and Zeb's talking about how, you know, only the Royal Guard has them, and he's like, I know. I took it from one that I murdered. And you're just like, whoa. And then he's talking about the fact that he used those disintegration weapons. He's the one that ordered it. And, I mean, he says it in a way that he's taking pride. The level of evil that guy just oozes in that moment was everything that I have ever, as a Star Wars fan of both canon and legends, come to expect from bureaucrats and officers in the Empire. And I was just like, now I can get behind this character, which you know, the next episode, which you guys haven't seen, does the same thing for me with the Inquisitor. So, I mean, they're doing a really good job in these last few episodes of pushing that envelope with the villains and really making them people that you're kind of like, oh, holy cow. Like, I mean, immediately I started to think, like, is Kanan doomed? Like, I mean, that was a question that I put up on Star Wars Beyond the Films. You know, I mean, there's a lot of questions I have with, you know, the Inquisitor knowing and Kallus knowing that he's a Jedi already. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks his days are numbered. Like, he couldn't possibly live to the end of the show.
I think, I think you're right. I think he may even not live through the season. I think. That's my theory.
From a storytelling perspective, if you're a content creator for Star Wars and you are writing the scripts for Rebels, you don't really want to take out your only Jedi. I mean, I realize Ezra can replace him at some point, but not yet.
Maybe not season one. Yeah, you're right. Maybe that.
Yeah.
I digress.
I mean, I think about how, you know, episode four starts off. Leia's looking for General Kenobi. I mean, why? Something had to have happened to Kanan. I mean, why not go with the guy that's helped establish the rebellion? I mean, to me, there's a lot of angles that make sense as to why he could end up dying and not completing, you know, Ezra's training. So in officiality, Ezra's not technically a Jedi because he never got completed training. So there's a character you could have show up in episode 7 that Luke has found or is about to find and finishes his training. I mean, there's so many different angles there that you can work. And I love how, you know, just a few little lines starts to make your mind start to wander with the directions that it could go.
Absolutely. All right. So my favorite moment.
That's my noise of excitement.
I will give my favorite moment.
I was thinking of Jar Jar when he got his tongue. My tongue. I'm numb.
My tongue is butter. You know, Hera is still my favorite character, but this episode and the previous one actually really brought. I went from being confused by Zeb's character of like, what are they trying to do with this person other than make them gruff. I went from being kind of that attitude towards Zeb, towards actually really liking the character of Zeb. And Hera's my favorite character, but you know what? Zeb's facial expressions are the best on this show.
Like,
they are so funny.
Hera.
Okay. I got to tell you something, Bethany.
Yeah.
You guys have got to watch the next episode. There is an elevator scene and a comment between Sabine and Zeb, and the facial expression that Zeb makes with his eyes. I almost spit soda all over my lap. So where you said that is something about that character that definitely I agree with you 100%. He has a way about not just the eyebrows and the eyes themselves, but the way that it leads down into his cheek and jaw that he could sell so many different expressions with just like an arching of an eyebrow or a turning of the lips.
It is so funny too. The show itself is so funny. And I know that the guys on Rebel Force Radio were talking about that. And I completely agree that this show is just a fun and funny show. I mean, yes, it's dark and it's serious in a lot of ways, but it just cracks you up. I like that.
That
and Chopper's a punk.
He is totally a punk.
That is so true. And in fact, I was thinking as I was looking through whether we could each do our top moments, and then I looked at the clock
and realized that Mark and Bethany have been talking for the last 5 minutes about their favorite moments anyway.
But I was like, screw you guys. You already went. No. No. We are out of time. We are out of time. Alas, we are out of time.
Alas,
we got a little bit of a late start this evening, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll be back next week in full force. We'll be working on a New Hope commentary. It was planned for this week, but unfortunately did not work out. I really wish it could have, but unfortunately it was not fated to be the case. But we'll be working on that soon. We'll get that a New Hope commentary scheduled
for all you guys who keep giving good feedback about wanting commentaries that lets us know that y'all like the commentaries. Woo!
There you go. Absolutely. So that's the kind of what's in the works for us. This has been episode 150 of the Star Wars Report podcast. I don't know if I mentioned that to you guys at the beginning. 150. It's an epiversary of sorts. Yeah. I mean, how cool would it have been if our A New Hope commentary had been?
It's an anniversary and a half.
This is true. So, hey, guys, stay in touch with us. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com for the email, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport for those social networks. iTunes, it's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. If you want to shoot us a voicemail, give us a call on our old school landline. That's right. Those things still work.
What's that?
858-859-0SWR, 858-859-0SWR. Follow us up on our personal social media accounts. We're always staying super active on the old Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I am at The Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, The Riley Guy, on Twitter and Instagram. You can look me up on Facebook. My profile is pretty much public and anyone can follow it. Posting ROTC stuff, posting Star Wars stuff, posting Hobbit stuff as that comes up. Man, that
and the Hobbit Report returns for a moment.
The Hobbit Report. Excuse me. Bethany can be found at Bethany L. Blanton. That's Twitter and Instagram. Also, Mark, you can be found on Twitter at Illogical Rogue 2. You're also on Facebook. Folks can look you up there. And that's how folks can stay in touch with us. If you're interested in our archive of episodes, please, please check out StarWarsReport.com/SWR episodes. And that's where you can find that. And then another little fun fact. We were at Dragon Con a couple months ago, and some podcasters that I'm huge fans of, Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood, we got to see them again, and they're a big inspiration for me, and I just really loved our interviews, and those are way back in the archives. And so this might be a little special plug. If you're interested in hearing my interview, Bethany, and you were also on the Brian Brushwood one, our interviews with Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood, there's a really easy link to find. You just go to StarWarsReport.com and put /Night Attack, all one word, and that's where you can find a link to those interviews. We'll be doing that more, where I'll make some special links, and that way you can check out some of our cool old stuff. That's going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Big thanks to Joe from Dark Empire Radio, the brutal one, for doing our special audio intro. We'll have a lot more of him on future episodes. But that's going to do it. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
And may the Force be with you.
Can we please get some cloning cylinders?
There it is. That's the wraps. That puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Hey, I love that news segment. I love that we have this audio now. Wait for it.
We have something to report.
The closer I have the news.
Data brought was...
I feel like I could probably redo it a little bit, but it is kind of like the...
By the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Ow. No, I like that. We just need the feedback stuff now. And man, like, there's some... If you guys are listening in the post show, which I know a good number of you do after the experiment we did a couple weeks back, good heavens, there's some really cool stuff that we're doing coming.
Oh, yeah.
What was the... I'm just going to play one little...
Pre-show.
Should I do
all
the...
Show?
Say we all... The circle is now complete. No. Nope. I need to find...
But I will ponder it.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Found it.
Okay.
Why, you stuck up, half witted, scruffy looking nerf herder.
We're going to do some really cool little bumps and stuff in the future for audio branding. All right. That's going to wrap it up. So long, guys. We'll see you next week.